boat. A sharp pain wrapped around my middle. It felt as if I were wearing a heavy belt, and the belt kept tightening and tightening and tightening. I made a groaning sound. I couldn't breathe. I doubled over. The pain shot around me. I felt as if I'd been cut in half. Julie? Julie? I felt David's hands on my shoulders. Are you okay? What's wrong? I couldn't straighten up. I couldn't talk or breathe. Cut in half. Cut in half. Suddenly, I realized what I had to do. Fighting the pain, I struggled to raise myself. I grabbed the camera. The pain tightened around my middle. Julie, do you need help? I could hear David's voice. It sounded far away. Julie, does something hurt? He cried. Should I get someone? I couldn't answer. The pain tightened my jaw, tightened every muscle. I saw red, then black. I knew I was about to pass out. Gritting my teeth, I grabbed the film square, and I tugged it hard, pulled it the rest of the way out of the camera. Will it work? Will the pain go away now? I gritted my teeth and waited. Waited. Chapter 8. No. The photo fell from my hand. I bent double, squeezing my sides. The pain tightened around me. It felt like a hot wire burning into my skin. And then, the pain vanished. It didn't fade away slowly. It just disappeared. So suddenly, I gasped and jerked up straight, blinking in surprise. I took in a long, deep breath, then another. I rubbed a hand around my waist. It felt perfectly fine again. Are you okay now? David asked. He had gone so pale, his freckles had faded into his skin. Julie? I didn't answer. I gripped the camera tightly against my chest. Then I spun away from David and ran across the gym floor. Hey! David shouted after me. What's your problem? I didn't answer. I kept running until I was outside in the parking lot, breathing in the cool, fresh night air. I knew what my problem was. It was the camera. First Rena, then Carla, then me. The camera was evil. It hurt people. I had to get rid of it. I had to take it back to that strange woman. I held the camera tightly against me and pedaled my bike home, riding with one hand. A car rolled past with loud music pouring out of the open windows. A girl waved to me from the passenger seat, but I didn't wave back. I tossed my bike against the side of the garage. Breathing hard, I ran into the house through the kitchen door. I planned to hurry up to my room and hide the camera before anyone saw me. But Sammy jumped out as I stepped into the living room. He had an ugly rubber skeleton mask over his face. Take my picture or you die, he rasped. He struck a pose with both hands raised and curled like claws. Sammy, since when is it Halloween? I asked. I'm not Sammy. I'm the Silver Skull. Take my picture, or I'll crush you with my skull vision. I shuddered. Poor Sammy. If I took his picture with this evil camera, he probably would become a skeleton. Out of my way. I didn't mean to push him so hard, but I was desperate to get the camera hidden away in my room. Hey, you're skeleton meat! Sammy shouted, waving his fist angrily. You will feel the wrath of the Silver Skull! That made me laugh. He's a spoiled brat, but he's cute. I crossed my room and pulled open the closet door. In the back, I had a tall heap of dirty clothes that I'd forgotten about. I buried the camera under the mountain of jeans and shirts. No way Sammy would find it there. My heart was pounding like a drum. I knew I wouldn't feel normal again until I returned the evil thing. At least it couldn't do any more harm buried under a ton of smelly clothes. I dropped onto my bed with a weary sigh. I pulled my cell phone out, clicked it open, and called Rena. "Are your eyes better?" I asked.
"No, they're not,"
Rena answered sharply.
"All thanks to you."
"Excuse me?"
"You heard me,"
Rena snapped.
"My eyes are still glowing like a freak, and still burning."
"Oh, I'm so sorry," I moaned.
"I can't read, I can't watch TV, I can't do my homework,"
Rena shouted.
"And I can't go to school because I can't let anyone see me like this."
"Rena, I'm really sorry," I repeated.
"Sorry?"
Rena cried.
"Sorry? Julie, that woman warned you not to take the camera. But you think you know it all. You think you can do whatever you want. Well, look what you did to me."
"Rena, please," I begged.
"The doctor never saw anything like this,"
Rena screamed.
You ruined my life, Julie."
But why are you talking to me like this?" I cried. "We're friends and..."
"No, we're not,"
Rena replied.
"We're not friends anymore. No way."
I couldn't believe she said that. I realized my whole body was trembling. I could barely hold the phone to my ear. I could hear her sobbing into the phone. "Rena, listen to me," I pleaded. "I'm taking the camera back to that house tomorrow. Will you come with me? We can ask that woman about your eyes."
"Julie, get lost,"
Rena said in a low, cold voice. And she clicked off her phone. The next day, school dragged on forever. I kept thinking about the camera hidden away in my closet. And I really missed Rena. Her telling me to get lost tied my stomach in knots every time I thought about it. After school, I ran all the way home. I wanted to get there before Sammy. I dove into my closet and tossed the dirty clothes aside. Then I grabbed the camera and headed to the garage to get my bike. Wouldn't you know it? Flat tire. I didn't care. The camera was going to be returned today if I had to crawl. I stuffed it into my backpack and started to walk. A cool wind blew in my face. It made the tall trees in the front yard sway and creak. The sun kept disappearing behind dark clouds. I was pretty sure I remembered how to get there. I walked past my school. Some boys from my class were tossing frisbees on the front lawn. Past the school, I turned and walked down the steep hill toward Fairfax Park. A few kids I didn't recognize were taking turns skateboarding down the hill. I wished I was having fun, too. I felt a couple of cold raindrops on my forehead as I stepped into the park. The dark clouds spread across the sky. The wind grew colder. "Turn around," a voice in my head whispered. "Julie, go home." "No," I said out loud. I kept walking. The trees swayed and whispered as I made my way through the park. The wind swirled, but the rain held off. I hurried through the park, then walked through a neighborhood of small, square houses. Was I on the right street? Yes, I could see the woman's red brick house halfway down the next block. I waited for a yellow school bus to pass. Then I started to cross the street. I took a few steps and stopped when I heard a cough behind me. I spun around. No one there. Weird. I crossed the rest of the way. I started to walk faster since I could see the house. Almost there. But I stopped again when I heard the scrape of footsteps. Soft thuds on the sidewalk. Again, I turned. The street was lined with slender young trees. Did someone slip behind one of them? I turned and took a few more steps. I was almost to the woman's driveway. I heard more soft footsteps behind me. A chill shot down my back. I'm being followed. Rain started to fall. I spun around. My eyes darted from tree to tree. "Who's there?" I called. My voice sounded muffled by the rain. No answer. "I know you're there," I shouted. "Who is it?" Chapter 9. No reply. I shivered. I lowered my head against the rain and ran up the pebble driveway. The garage door was closed. Someone had scrawled a big red X on the front. I turned and saw the stuffed monkey staring out the front window. Behind the stuffed animal, the house was dark. Raindrops pattered the window. They sounded like soft drum beats. I glanced behind me. I didn't see anyone, but I knew someone was there, watching me. It wasn't my imagination. With another shiver, I rang the doorbell. I could hear it echo inside the house. I waited a few seconds, then rang it again. No answer. I pulled open the torn screen door. Then I raised my fist and knocked hard on the front door. The door swung open. I peeked inside. "Hello?" I shouted. "Anyone home? Hello?" Silence. Just the patter of rain behind me. I stepped inside into the small, square living room. I squinted into the darkness and gasped. The room was totally bare. No furniture at all. The stuffed monkey sat on the windowsill. Nothing else in the room. Not even a rug on the floor. "Hello?" I shouted. "Anybody here?" My voice echoed in the empty room. I jogged into the kitchen. Nothing in there either. A single pot stood on the stove. Its insides burned black. Even the sink faucet had been taken away. With a sigh, I leaned against the wall. Rainwater dripped down my forehead. I brushed it off with the back of one hand. They moved away, I realized. The woman and her daughter had a garage sale and then cleared out. "Now what?" I asked myself out loud. I gripped the evil camera in both hands. No way I could return it to them now. So what should I do with it? I can't take it home, I told myself. It didn't take me long to decide to leave it there. I started to feel better as soon as I made the decision. Back in the living room, I turned the stuffed monkey around, and I lowered the camera to its lap. I backed away. I had a smile on my face. It felt so good to leave the camera. The monkey's stare seemed to follow me as I backed out the door. I closed the front door and then the screen door. The rain had stopped. The sun was breaking out through the clouds. Things were looking better already. Back home, I had a couple of hours before dinner time. I felt too restless to sit down and do my homework. I grabbed my digital camera, my extra lens, and headed to school. I needed to take some interesting shots for the yearbook. No way was I going to let David win our contest. I found some kids rollerblading to loud hip-hop music in the teacher's parking lot. I took some good shots of them. I tried to capture how much fun they were having. Then I photographed a bunch of seventh graders playing a kickball game on the soccer field. It was a pretty out-of-control game. The grass was still wet from the rain, and they kept slipping and sliding and falling on their butts. Some good snaps. "David, you're toast," I muttered to myself as I headed home. I couldn't wait to download the photos onto my computer. Then I'd print them and bring the best ones to Mr. Webb tomorrow. Mom and Dad were in the kitchen. Dad was at the sink, peeling carrots. Mom was stirring something on the stove.
"What's up?"
Dad asked. Then he let out a shout.
Ouch! Can't they make a carrot peeler that doesn't scrape your fingers to shreds?
He raised his hand.
Look, I'm bleeding.
Dad isn't real good in the kitchen. I don't know why he keeps volunteering to help.
About 10 minutes till dinner time, Mom said.
No problem, I said. Dad, do you need a Band-Aid?
I need 10,
he cried. But he kept scraping away. I hurried up to my room. I carried the digital camera to my desk and set it down next to my computer. Something caught my eye. I spun around and uttered a shocked cry. No! The stuffed monkey! It sat on my dresser with the evil camera on its lap!
Chapter 10.
But that's impossible, I cried. I shut my eyes tight, then opened them again. The monkey and the camera were still there. How did they get there? How? My chest felt fluttery. My heart was racing. I grabbed the camera and bolted down the stairs with it. I burst into the kitchen, breathing hard. Mom, Dad, was someone here? I cried. They both looked up from the counter. Someone? In my room, I said. Was someone in my room? Sammy poked his head out from under the table.
Yeah, the silver skull was there, he exclaimed. The silver skull goes everywhere!
Give me a break, I snapped. I'm serious. Mom shook her head.
I've been here all afternoon, Julie. I didn't see or hear anyone. Were you expecting someone?
No, I said. It's hard to explain. No way I could expect them to believe me about the camera. They're both accountants for an insurance company. Know what that means? It means they're the kind of people who don't believe in evil cameras.
Sammy jumped out from under the table. He dropped the two action figures he'd been playing with. He tore over to me and tried to grab the camera out of my hands.
Give it, he said. Give it up. I want to try it.
I used the camera to push him away. Here's a new concept for you, I said. It's called mine and yours. Do you know the difference between mine and yours? Did they ever teach that to you on Sesame Street?
You're a jerk-faced baboon,
Sammy said.
Don't call names, Dad told him.
Why won't you let Sammy try your camera? Mom asked. He isn't going to break it.
Yes, I am, Sammy said.
Talk about a jerk-faced baboon. I didn't answer Mom. I spun around and ran back up to my room with it. I hid it again under the pile of dirty clothes. But I knew that wasn't good enough. My little brother is a terrible snoop. I knew he'd find it. I knew that sooner or later, he'd get into terrible trouble with it. I had to get the evil thing out of the house. I had to put it someplace where it couldn't magically return. But where would that be? Where? Chapter 11. It was nearly bedtime, but I wasn't tired. I kept picturing the camera on the floor of my closet. I couldn't stop thinking about Rena and Carla, about the horrible pain the camera had given me. I knew I wouldn't sleep until the evil thing was removed from the house. I tiptoed to the closet. I didn't want Mom or Dad to hear me. The floor creaked under my feet. The only sound except for the swish of the filmy white curtains fluttering at my open window. I peered out at a purple sky with no moon or stars. A soft breeze made the dark trees shiver. Somewhere down the block, a cat cried, a mournful sound. Poor kitty probably wanted to go inside. I didn't want to be outside either, but I knew what I had to do. I had a plan. I crossed the room in the dark, got down on my knees in the closet, and grabbed the evil camera. My hands were trembling, and my knees felt weak as I sneaked down the stairs. A few seconds later, I silently closed the kitchen door behind me. I waited for my eyes to adjust to the dark. The cool, damp air felt good on my face. The neighbors' houses were all dark. Down the block, the cat continued its sad cry. Again, I searched the sky for the moon, but it was hidden behind a heavy blanket of clouds. I crossed my backyard and followed the narrow dirt alley behind the houses. The ground was soft and muddy from the rain. My shoes splashed into shallow mud puddles. I pressed the camera against my chest and kept walking. A few minutes later, I stopped in front of Alley Pond. That's what everyone calls it. It doesn't really have a name. It's a small, round pond at the end of the alley. Some kids say it used to be a fish pond. Not anymore. It's a big, round hole filled with muddy water. I raised the camera and prepared to toss it into the pond, but I stopped when I heard a sound. A scraping sound from behind a thorny hedge at the side of the alley. I spun around quickly. Did I hear breathing from behind the hedge? Or just the wind? A chill tightened the back of my neck. Again, I had the feeling that someone was there. Someone was watching me. "Hello?" I called out in a whisper. "Who's there?" No answer. Another chill shook my body. I could feel all my muscles tighten. Was someone watching me? I was really afraid now, but I had to finish my mission. I raised my arm again and heaved the old camera into the pond. It made a big, thudding splash. Then it sank below the muddy surface instantly. I stared at the pond for a few seconds. It didn't float back up. I glanced one more time at the low hedge. No one there. Silence. Was it my imagination? I ran back to the house, splashing up mud with my sneakers. I silently let myself into the kitchen, then crept back upstairs. I stopped halfway down the hall. I saw yellow light seeping from my half-closed bedroom door. There was someone in my room! Chapter 12. My heart thudded in my chest. I tiptoed to the door. Slowly, carefully, I tilted my head forward to peek into my room. "Sammy!" I gasped. Sammy spun around at the sound of my voice. He was in his pajamas, on his knees in front of my dresser. He had the bottom dresser drawer pulled out. I stepped into the room. "What are you doing in here?" I cried. "I heard you go out," he replied. "I wanted to look at your camera." I slammed the dresser drawer shut. Then I pulled him to his feet. "You little sneak," I muttered. I gave him a push to the door.
"I just wanted to try it," he whined.
"Forget about that camera," I said. "It's gone, Sammy. It's gone forever." I gave him another push. He tried to kick me, but his bare foot caught on the edge of the carpet.
"If you didn't want it, why didn't you give it to me?"
he asked. "It was broken," I told him. "I had to throw it away." He started to argue, but I closed the bedroom door in his face. I yawned. I suddenly felt totally exhausted. All my muscles ached. My head felt like a heavy rock. It still took a long time to fall asleep, and when I finally did, I had a disturbing dream. I dreamed I was on the high diving board at the new swimming pool. Everyone in school was jammed into the pool, staring up at me. I was ready to take the big yearbook photo. I raised the evil camera in both hands. It didn't feel like a camera. It felt soft and warm. As I gripped it, I could feel it moving in my hands, throbbing, breathing. The camera was alive. I held it in front of my face. I tried to look through the viewfinder. The camera began breathing harder. in and out. Something splattered onto my shoes. I glanced down. I saw drops of blood. The camera lens was bleeding. Bright red blood. Drip after drip. But I still kept taking pictures. I aimed the camera down at the kids below, and I clicked the shutter. I held the film in my hand and watched as the picture developed. It took a long, long time. I gasped when the shot finally came into focus. In the picture, the kids' skin had vanished. Their skulls gleamed in the sunlight. They were all skeletons. "What have I done?" I screamed. "Have I killed everyone in my entire school?" I woke up drenched in sweat. I tried to blink the dream away, but the grinning, glowing skeleton stayed in my mind. "Only a dream," I muttered. "Take a deep breath, Julie. It was only a dream." I shut my eyes and settled back on the pillow. I couldn't stop shivering. I knew I wouldn't fall back to sleep. I just lay there staring up at the ceiling. After a while, the sun started to rise outside my window. It sent a warm, rosy color over the room. I climbed out of bed and crossed to the window. I watched the sunrise, letting the warmth flow over me. I started to feel better. I got dressed for school. Then I made my way downstairs for breakfast. I was the first one in the kitchen. I started for the fridge to pull out the orange juice. But I stopped halfway across the floor and stared. Stared at the evil camera sitting by my place at the breakfast table. Chapter 13. The camera was dripping wet. The lens was covered in mud. I wanted to scream. I wanted to heave the thing against the wall again and again, jump up and down on it, crush it with a hammer. But I knew it was no use. I left it in that house way across town. I tossed it into the pond. But here it was. No way. No way to get rid of it. I snatched it off the table. Then I ran upstairs and hid it in my closet before anyone came down to breakfast. I couldn't think of anything else all day. At noon, the Sneer sisters, Becca and Greta, tripped me and made me spill my lunch tray on the floor. Laughter rang out in the lunchroom. "Watch where you're going," Becca said with a sneer. I didn't pay any attention. I didn't even look at the two of them. I just walked out of the lunchroom without eating. I kept picturing the camera on the breakfast table. My stomach felt tight, as if it were twisted into a dozen knots. I could barely swallow. How could I eat? I knew I had to get help. After school, I loaded the camera into my backpack. I rode my bike to the mall. I parked it in a bike rack and trotted to the Camera World store on the second floor. The bell over the door chimed as I stepped in. I saw David's dad standing behind the glass display counter. He wore a blue and white striped shirt and khakis. He was polishing a big camera lens with a soft white cloth. He smiled when he recognized me.
"Julie, how's it going?"
Mr. Blank is short and thin. He has a narrow, almost bald head with a fringe of black hair at his ears. He has brown eyes, a nice smile, and a black mustache that looks like two tiny straight lines under his nose. "I want to show you something," I said. I tugged the camera from my backpack and set it down on the glass counter. "Can you tell me anything about this weird old camera?" He set the lens down carefully. Then he folded the cloth and tucked it into a drawer.
"Let me see this thing," he said.
He picked it up in one hand and twirled it slowly in front of his face.
"Weird old camera is right," he muttered. "Where did you get it, Julie? Did you find it on eBay?"
"Garage sale," I said.
"I don't think I've seen one like it before," he said.
He turned it over and studied the bottom.
No brand name, he said. No ID numbers anywhere.
He looked through the viewfinder. Then he studied the lens.
It's self-developing,
he said.
That's very unusual in a camera this old.
It's a very unusual camera, I said. Mr. Blank stroked his mustache.
I have some books and old catalogs in the office,
he said.
Let's look it up.
I followed him into the little office in back. It was the size of a broom closet. It had a desk with a computer on it, a chair, and stacks of camera books and magazines. Mr. Blank pulled some fat old books from the bottom of a pile and started thumbing through them.
No name on the camera makes it a lot harder to find,
he said. He cracked open another old book and began sifting through it.
I'm an expert on old cameras, he said. People say I have a photographic memory. Haha, that's a bad joke, isn't it? But I've never seen... Oh, wait.
He squinted at a photo on the page of the old book.
I think maybe...
His eyes darted back and forth as he read the tiny type. Finally, he gazed up at me.
Julie, I think you found something very rare,
he said. He raised the camera and compared it to the photo.
Yes. Yes.
What is it? I asked.
It says that only one of these cameras was ever built,
Mr. Blank said.
It was actually made for a horror movie that was being filmed in the 1950s.
I swallowed. A horror movie? He nodded.
The camera was made for a movie called Say Cheese and Die Screaming.
He read the tiny text again.
But the movie was never finished. There were a lot of strange accidents on the set, and they had to close down the production.
I felt a chill. Bad things? Mr. Blank shrugged.
That's all it says. The movie was never finished, and the camera disappeared.
He closed the book.
Lucky you,
he said.
I think you found a piece of movie history.
He started to hand the camera back to me. No, please, I stammered. I backed away. Can you keep it? He blinked.
Excuse me? This camera is probably valuable, Julie.
There's something very wrong with it, I said. My voice came out high and shrill. I don't want it, please.
It can be repaired, he said.
No, it can't, I cried. There's a curse on it or something. The camera is evil. Please, Mr. Blank, take it. Keep it safe. Keep it away from people. He squinted at me.
I don't believe in curses or magic,
he said.
That's crazy.
Please, just take it, I said. I turned to go.
Maybe I could give you store credit,
he said.
You could pick something out in return.
No thanks, I said. I couldn't stay there another second. I just wanted to get away from the camera. I bolted out of the office and out the front door. The bell over the door clanged loudly. I ran into the mall. Nearly knocked over a woman pushing a double baby stroller. Sorry, I called and kept running. Did I actually get rid of that evil thing? I wondered. Will it be safe with Mr. Blank? Or will it come back to haunt me again? After school the next day, I pulled my digital camera from my locker. Then I hurried to the auditorium. Kids were rehearsing a play, Bye Bye Birdie, and I planned to photograph it for the yearbook. Everyone was huddled in front of the curtain. Mrs. Harper sat at the piano at the side of the stage. She was banging out a number from the show. She is the new music teacher. She told us all she wants to shake things up around our school. Bye Bye Birdie is the biggest musical our middle school ever tried. I plan to take hundreds of shots from the beginning rehearsals to opening night. But as I hurried toward the stage, I let out a groan. I'd totally forgotten that Becca and Greta were in the play. They stood in the middle of the stage, arguing with each other about something. But as soon as they saw me, they both turned and made ugly faces. I made a face back at them. Then I heard heavy footsteps behind me, shoes thudding on the concrete auditorium floor. I spun around. "David!" I cried. "What are you doing here?" He had a big grin on his face. He swung his hands from behind his back, and I stared at what he was carrying. The evil camera! He raised it to his face, turned to the stage, and aimed it up at Becca and Greta. "Say cheese!" he called up to them. I froze in horror. He raised his thumb to push the shutter button. "No!" I screamed. Chapter 14. I stuck my hand in front of the lens. David lowered the camera. "Why did you do that?" he cried. "What's your problem, Julie?" I didn't answer. I stomped toward him and made him back up the aisle. "What are you doing with that camera?" I demanded. David shrugged. "What's the big deal? My dad let me borrow it. He said you didn't want it anymore." But, I sputtered. "I know you tried to get rid of it," David said. "Huh?" My breath caught in my throat. "How do you know that?" He shrugged again. "I watched you," he said softly. A strange smile spread over his face. "I followed you, Julie." "You what?" I cried. "Who do you think was spying on you?" David said, still grinning. "I stayed up day and night. I watched you leave it in that little house. And I watched you toss it in the pond. Who do you think returned it to you both times?" My mouth hung open. "How did you get it from the bottom of the pond?" I asked. "I reached in and pulled it out," David laughed. "That pond is only a foot deep." I just stared at him. I couldn't speak. "You sneaked into my house? You returned it? You spied on me? But why?" I cried. "Just to mess with your mind," David replied. "I really want to win our contest, Julie. I wanted to get you totally stressed so I could win it easily." I gave a bitter laugh.